We begin with breaking news, evacuations and a significant emergency response in Etobicoke. Flames erupting at a business engulfing dozens of propane tanks. The fears over possible explosions. Good evening. This is still an active situation. The smoke and fire first spotted around 3:30 this afternoon.
The surrounding area cleared out as crews descended on the scene. More than 100 firefighters called in. CTV's Janice Golding is live on the scene tonight near Racine Road, not far from Kipling and Rexdale. Janice, what's happening now?
Hi, Michelle. Police tell us they got a call about an explosion at around 3:37 p.m. in the area of Brighton Road and Racine. Fire officials tell us that the fire originated at Cooper Equipment Rentals, which is a single-story industrial building. Fire Chief Matthew Pegg tells CTV News that when crews arrived on scene, they encountered heavy fire that was impinging on a number of propane and compressed gas cylinders on the outside of the equipment rental facility. While officials do not know what started the fire at this point, Chief Pegg says a very significant number of tanks were exposed to fire. There were also some cars in the vicinity that also caught flame, and firefighters had to deal with that situation as well. Now, police blocked off Racine Road from Kipling to Martin Grove for a couple of hours, evacuating people in nearby buildings while advising nearby residents to remain indoors. Ambulance buses were also brought in, but thankfully no one was injured. Here's more from Chief Pegg and an area resident.
These are very complicated, very complex and dangerous fires for our crews. So they have to get close enough in order to deploy what we call ground monitors, so unstaffed monitors to flow water and aerial towers and some hand lines, the principal goal being to keep those cylinders cool. So they were able to do that successfully. That's why you see a number of aerial ladders in the air. The fire is now under control. There are no reported injuries. And in fact, the command team has just cleared the third alarm.
But when I came here, somebody told me the guy opposite the building told me the propane tank flew over his shop and fell onto the car. So now what the police was doing, they were evacuating everybody from this area. Most people had to be evacuated onto the safe. So that's why they're waiting now to see when it's safe enough that people can go back to their business or whatever.
What was it like? Was it pretty scary?
It's not like scary, but I'm saying is like we'll have to wait for the investigation because we'll have to see what happened. Was the tank secured? Was the tank in a cage with a lock? How the fire started? Ignition? What it was?
Again, the chief says that the blaze is under control and he's begun releasing equipment and personnel. He also says that fire investigators are en route to the scene. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Michelle.
Thank you, Janice. And today's heat and humidity certainly aren't helping with that situation. You can feel the stickiness in the air tonight.
And it just happens to be the first official day of summer, the rising temperature prompting public health advisories and efforts to find relief. CTV's Sean Lee Thong is live with more.
The first day of summer living up to its name, with heat you can see rising from the pavement. And for those who are working...
How does it feel right now?
Feels a little bit warm, more than normal.
A heat warning for the city of Toronto means construction workers like Pedro Lima have to be careful.
Some people already left because they feel the heat.
Early this morning, Woodbine Beach was cool and calm, waiting for summer to arrive.
You put your hat on, you have some water, and you're good to go.
As summer did arrive, with the temperature rising, preparations were made.
Plenty of water, keep covered, plenty of sun cream on.
During a heat warning, the City of Toronto has activated its heat relief network with 300 cool spaces and currently 10 outdoor pools open. 45 more pools will be open on June 25th. By the lunch hour, patios were filling up, and over at Lola's Gelato, business was picking up.
It's really refreshing, especially like a local spot like this.
With customers arriving a little earlier than usual.
So it's 12:30. Is this too early for gelato?
It is never too early for gelato.
Some along the lake are welcoming the warmth.
Oh, it feels lovely. I love it.
Joey Wen and dog Gogo see this as an opportunity.
I like the sunshine, and then later on I'm going to throw him into the lake. He's going to cool down, and I'm going to keep playing.
Ari Kakazaki decided to work out in this heat, which may have been a bit much.
I'm going to go home after this, and then I'm going to drink cold water, so it's going to be okay.
And as the afternoon was wearing on, this was a common look. with many taking the time to slow down and lay down, whether on land or on the water, because summer is here. So when it came to this heat wave, this warning, if you will, it was really a matter of the temperatures creeping up very slowly. When we came to noon, it wasn't actually as hot as the temperature is right now in the city of Toronto. And it looks like there's going to be a lot more of that on the way. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. I'll send it back to you.
It sure does. Thank you, Sean. Yes, this heat warning remains in effect from Environment Canada. It's a toasty one out there tonight. And Michelle Jobin is live at Canoe Landing Park in City Place with a look at the current conditions. How does it feel over there?
Well, you know, I think we've had a little, it could be because the splash pad is right behind me, Michelle, but things are feeling a little bit better, I would say, in the last 10 to 15 minutes, a bit of a breeze, but we still have quite a hot, humid air mass here. And yes, the warnings are still in effect. So let's take a look at what we're dealing with right now in terms of our conditions and in terms of the warnings that we see right now. We have some activity in terms of thunderstorms off in eastern Ontario. That will be on the way for us tomorrow, and I'll tell you more about that coming up. But there's the heat warning in effect. The GTA, Hamilton, Niagara, southwestern Ontario. Temperatures in the 30s. Humidex values near 40, 20 degrees overnight. An air quality advisory in effect. We'll talk more about that as well. And in terms of our current temperatures, we are looking at temperatures still in the upper 20s around the 30-degree mark. Overnight tonight, 20 degrees. Back inside to you.
Thanks, Michelle. And just a reminder, as we deal with this heat, if you're looking for any information about cooling centers, public pools, or water fountains, our online team has you covered. You'll find all that information at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Next to a neighborhood tragedy in North York, a horrific scene playing out on a residential street.
A woman in her 80s struck and killed by a street sweeping vehicle. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live on Tremont Crescent, which is near Lawrence and Leslie, with the latest on what happened, Beth.
Michelle, it's been a very upsetting day on the street. I've seen several people in tears, and many are asking how this could happen. A normally quiet residential road is now the scene of a tragedy. An 85-year-old woman out walking, struck and killed by a City of Toronto street sweeper.
Sad, because this is really one of the safest streets in the area. Something like this happened, I have help. It was fast, it was slow.
Toronto police say the sweeper wasn't going fast and that both the woman and the truck were going in the same direction at the time of the collision.
Through my window, my bay window, I saw the street cleaner come up and then he went out of view when he started backing up. And I thought nothing of it until the neighbor across the street came looking for some assistance.
It happened shortly after 9 this morning in the Lawrence Avenue East and Leslie Street neighborhood. People who knew the woman for many years are shaken up by her death.
She's a family person. She's a wonderful lady. I'm still in shock.
How long did you... She was very, very likable, a very neighborly person, and I couldn't say enough about her as to what a great person she was.
Police say the 39-year-old driver of the sweeper is also struggling.
The driver was very distraught and as a result was transported to hospital.
In a statement, the city says it's aware of a tragic incident this morning involving a street sweeper and a pedestrian. The city is cooperating fully with police and their investigation. Our thoughts are with the victim's family as well as our employee at this very difficult time. That investigation is underway, collecting evidence, inspecting the truck, speaking with witnesses, and tracking down security footage, all part of the search for answers. Police are asking anyone with information or video of the incident to contact them. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Straight ahead, recognition, reflection, and culture to take a step closer toward reconciliation, marking National Indigenous Peoples Day here in Toronto and across the country. To the airport now and some advice for anyone planning a trip this summer.
Between all the delays and cancellations, air travel's been anything but smooth recently, and that demand to get away is only expected to take off. CTV's John Musselman is live at Pearson Airport with more. John.
Well, Nathan, it's busy inside Terminal 1 right now, and it will only get busier, as you mentioned, as we approach the summer season. The traffic volume here will go up. What airport officials want you to think about is how you pack your bags. It may defy common sense, but these are some of the items that security has removed from carry-on luggage at Pearson. Ammunition, a hammer, a saw blade, even a lighter that looks like a gun.
A lot of times people do, they'll remove them. It's not that they're trying to hide them. They'll just take them out.
But it can slow down the process for everyone else. Sandra Alvarez is with the Canadian Air Transport Security Authority, the people responsible for screening at Pearson. Today, airport officials held an information session at Terminal 1, reminding passengers to pack properly to reduce delays.
We have a volume restriction on these liquids. Each container must be 100 milliliters or less. So these, for instance, are too large. They have to be in the smaller sizes. The total quantity of these contents need to fit in this 1 liter clear size bag.
Still, officials with the GTAA acknowledge staffing shortages are still the biggest issue here, but more screening staff have been added. Passengers we talked to say it wasn't as bad as they feared it might be.
Thankfully, we just have a direct flight, so that eases the nerves a bit. But I know when we went to Europe in April, I would have been much more stressed. Yeah.
It's my first time flying in about, well, since pre-pandemic, actually. So today, just did the check-in before arriving, and very, very quick.
Actually, I was here a week ago, and it wasn't too bad.
Airport officials say staffing and security shortages are issues at airports around the globe, not just Pearson. Still, delays and long lines are still a problem depending on your arrival or departure time.
We have seen new staffing brought in, and we have seen some improvement. Now, we are still seeing bottlenecks at times. We do still have peak travel times that are busier than others.
Once again, airport officials say domestic travelers should arrive 2 hours before departure. International travelers should arrive 3 hours prior to takeoff. And airport officials say a lot of those bottlenecks can happen in the early morning and at times like this at the dinner hour when a lot of people are heading out. Reporting live at Pearson Terminal 1, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
All right. Thank you, John. And our online team is also compiling some of those travel tips. You can find everything you need to know before you go at ctvnewstoronto.ca. More and more help wanted signs are popping up across Canada.
There are record high job vacancies in this country. CTV's Bill Fortier tells us why.
On any popular commercial strip in Canada, there are a lot of businesses looking to hire workers, like this Edmonton Donair shop.
It's very tough. It's like I put it the poster like 3 months ago. I got two resumes.
The owner has four locations and wants to hire 10 to 15 people to help him stay open during the summer rush.
And it's no stop, so I'm working myself here right now, right?
Jobs available, but nobody to fill them. It's a problem across the country, according to the latest numbers from Stats Canada. There are nearly 1 million job vacancies, up by nearly 3% from the end of last year, and up an astounding 72% from 2 years ago.
That's extraordinarily high. And it just says the labor market is really hot, and we can see that the wages that employers are offering to fill these vacancies are going up, as you would expect.
Economists say many people lost their jobs during the early stages of the pandemic, but low unemployment shows many have already found other work. So there just aren't that many job hunters out there as the country opens up from COVID restrictions and businesses look to bolster their staffing numbers.
There's just not an awful lot of people at the moment who are looking for work that don't already have work.
Overall, nearly 6% of all positions are not currently filled. The rate bolstered by the healthcare, construction, and manufacturing sectors, all at record high vacancy rates. Average wages have gone up slightly since last year, and several economists expect that to continue, with many employers competing for a shrinking pool of employees. Bill Fortier, CTV News, Edmonton.
Police in Mexico are investigating the deaths of two Canadians. The bodies were discovered in the Caribbean Coast Resort of Playa del Carmen. The man and woman both had knife wounds, and they were found yesterday at a hotel or condo. One of them was wanted by Interpol. A source confirms their names were Raphael Huppe and Fanny Lorraine, both originally from Quebec. A third person was reported injured.
An abject failure. That is how the Texas Department of Public Safety is describing the police response to last month's mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde.
3 minutes after the subject entered the West Building,
There were sufficient number of armed officers wearing body armor to isolate, distract, and neutralize the subject. The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children.
19 students and two teachers were killed in the May 24th shooting. Today, the Public Safety Department said the scene commander made terrible decisions. They included waiting for a radio, rifles, shields, and a SWAT team, and a key to the classroom where the shooting took place, despite the door not being locked. Nearly 20 officers waited over an hour in a hallway outside before a tactical team finally made entry.
In Washington, the committee investigating the January 6th siege at the Capitol resumed hearings today. The focus turned to what the panel says was Donald Trump's attempt to pressure state officials to overturn the results.
Let the truth come out. All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Was the president here asking you for exactly what he wanted, one more vote than his opponent?
What I knew is that we didn't have any votes to find. We had continued to look. We investigated, like I just shared the numbers with you. There were no votes to find. That was an accurate count that had been certified.
Committee members say the former U.S. president leaned on officials in key battleground states. He's accused of asking them to reject ballots outright or submit alternative electors for the final tally. The committee can't charge Trump with any crimes, but the Justice Department is watching the hearings closely.
Russian forces continue to pound areas of eastern Ukraine as they struggle to seize complete control of the region. A missile hit an educational institution in Kharkiv. There was no one inside at the time, but at least 15 civilians were killed by shelling in the Kharkiv region today after weeks of relative calm there. Elsewhere, Ukrainian defenders are still holding on to a chemical plant on the outskirts of Severodonetsk. The neighboring city of Lysychansk was also targeted by multiple airstrikes.
In England, revelers greeted the summer solstice during an annual ritual. About 6,000 people gathered at Stonehenge to watch the sunrise at 4:49 a.m. local time. This is the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It was the first time people have been allowed to gather at the ancient stone circle for the summer solstice since 2019. The sunrise was streamed online the past 2 years because of the pandemic.
This is National Indigenous Peoples Day, a time for celebrations and ceremonies across the country. The Prime Minister attended an event in Ottawa this afternoon.
Yes, we acknowledge the terrible wrongs generations of Canadian governments and institutions and individuals perpetrated on Indigenous peoples throughout our history. But we cannot only get wrapped up in the difficulties, even though they color everything we exist. We do have to take moments to celebrate. We do have to take moments to stand strongly and proudly in learning from each other and celebrating culture and identity and watching Indigenous people stand up strongly and clearly say, we're still here.
National Indigenous Peoples Day is an opportunity to learn more about the history, contributions, and experiences of Canada's First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples. And here in Toronto, today's events began with a sunrise ceremony at Nathan Phillips Square.
This day, an opportunity to reflect and recommit to reconciliation. CTV's Raheem Ladani reports.
This is the music the Colburn family want their daughters to be exposed to from a young age.
Whether it's at powwows, whether it's at events like this, the more that we can instill in our children, that's how it carries to the future, right?
Chukwu Zoru is also here with his Afro-Indigenous family.
And I believe that's important to remember Indigenous history and how far we've came.
A sunrise ceremony across Turtle Island, commonly known as Canada, marked the beginning of National Indigenous Peoples Day, a celebration first proclaimed in 1996.
Coming together and understanding truths, trying to make things better. Our jobs, while we're here, is to make things just a little better.
That recommitment towards truth begins with the memory of the unmarked graves across the country and those who never returned home from residential schools.
Their families and their survivors continue to live with lasting trauma to this day.
Members of the indigenous community say one of the best ways to reach reconciliation is by asking questions and exposing ourselves to unfamiliar situations.
Take some of our blinders off, try and get past some of our own biases, and to learn.
These medicine wheel bracelets are a way to do just that, a business that is about more than just jewelry to the person making it.
This would have been illegal. We couldn't sing our songs, speak our language. I'm learning my language now. So this is really a reclamation.
Claiming back their culture while celebrating it with the rest of the world.
That report from Raheem Ladani. And coming up, Canadian actor Adam Beach opens up about his family's trauma at residential day school and their fight for the rights of Indigenous peoples.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, if your bank card is ever lost or stolen, you need to report it right away. A Pickering student says she didn't notice when her card went missing, and now she's being told to repay more than $14,000 in fraudulent deposits. All of my reports, that's just it.
31 degrees, feeling like 38 at Pearson Airport. Not a bad evening to be perhaps at a splash pad where I am, or somewhere like a patio. Let's see how the evening's going to play out. Of course, we are under a heat warning. We'll be in the upper 20s to mid 20s, at least into the late evening. Our overnight low, 20 degrees. I'll be back with your full forecast.
If you have a bank card that's lost or stolen, most banks want you to report it within 24 hours to try to avoid fraud.
If you wait too long and someone does steal money from your account, you could be held responsible to repay the funds. Pat Foran explains on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Thanks, Michelle and Nathan. A Pickering College student says she didn't notice when her bank card went missing last fall. She then discovered someone had been cashing fake checks in her name, and now the bank says she is responsible to repay $14,000.
I opened that account for her when she was a little girl, and my name was on it.
Marilyn Ward says it was last fall when her daughter Frances's bank card went missing. Frances says she uses her phone for most payments, so she never realized she didn't have her card. But someone either found it or took it and used it to deposit fake checks. The first one was for about $2,000.
The account does not even have an overdraft on it. So the first check went through, put it into overdraft. That time it should have been stopped.
Over a week in September, a series of fake checks were cashed, totaling about $13,000. The bank investigated but told the family the card was not reported missing, and whoever had the card had to have known the PIN secret access code.
They basically said that you're responsible for this because it's your card, it's your PIN.
Frances says she doesn't know how anyone could have got her PIN.
I didn't have it written. I didn't have it. It wasn't a birthday, nothing like that.
I don't even know her PIN.
The Wards Bank with RBC, following an investigation, they were told they would have to reimburse the bank the amount of the fake checks plus interest, totaling more than $14,000, and that we now require that you pay the total amount overdue. The Wards feel the bank should not have allowed the checks to be cashed and say they shouldn't be held accountable for the fraud.
This is not money we have taken from the bank, and we should not be held responsible.
When CTV News reached out to RBC, a spokesperson said, "We review client complaints regarding unauthorized transactions on a case-by-case basis, and that we also remind clients of the importance of protecting their PIN and client card." But RBC decided to forgive the $14,000 amount owing, which was great news for the Wards.
And I'm really appreciative for what CTV has done to help clear this up. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, CTV and Pat Foran.
And it's important to know where your debit and credit cards are and to report them missing right away if they're lost or stolen. You should also check your bank accounts often to watch out for any suspicious activity. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Metrolinx is adding more bus service to popular tourist spots in and around the GTA. Customers can ride the GO Bus to Canada's Wonderland in Vaughan, St. Jacob's Market in Waterloo, and Toronto Premium Outlets in Halton Hills. Trips to Wonderland will run hourly on Saturdays, while the Saturday rides to St. Jacob's Market and Toronto Premium Outlets will only run at specific times, so be sure to check the schedule.
All right, probably the hottest start to summer that I can remember. Not a day for jackets and ties outside, for sure.
Summer is finally here in a big way. And at this point, you always have to remember, just take note, because the next 2 months are about to fly by, Michelle.
I think that's good advice. We want to make the most of it. But, of course, we are under a heat warning here in the city of Toronto, all of the GTA and much of southwestern Ontario, Michelle and Nathan. So it has been hot. It has been humid. I will say, though, as we're getting into the evening hours here at Canoe Landing Park, things are looking pretty lively here at the splash pad or the patios in the area. And I think it's a good time to be outside if you haven't liked the heat and humidity as much. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. Okay, so let's take a look at how we're doing in terms of temperature throughout the region. We are now at 31, feeling like 39 at Pearson Airport. Feels a little cooler bit downtown. We've also had the sun go down a bit. Part of the intensity we felt earlier was also due to that sun that was a UV index of 10. But the heat warning remains in through tomorrow. We are looking at temperatures in the low to mid 30s. Humidex values approaching 40 and overnight lows around 20. And we also have an air quality advisory in effect. So if you are a person that has respiratory issues, be aware of this. We've got this combo of heat, humidity, and poor air quality. So you may want to make sure you take it easy in the heat yet again tomorrow. So 20 degrees overnight, feeling into the mid-20s, normally this time of year we're around 15 degrees in the overnight low. Light winds and the sun will be intense as we get up in the morning into the afternoon before the cold front goes through. With the cold front, we are going to get thunderstorms, and I urge everyone to keep their eyes on the sky and any watches and warnings that might be issued, because it could be severe given the heat, humidity, and volatility that we have. So we do have some activity over in eastern Ontario in and around the Ottawa region. With that warm front sliding through, we are waiting for the associated cold front with this system to slice through and change things up. That will improve the air quality. It'll give us those thunderstorms. It'll cool us down a bit. In fact, tomorrow's overnight lows will be a little more comfortable. So I want to show you here on our forecast radar, setting that in motion. As we get into the afternoon tomorrow, we'll see those thunderstorms, but lots of sunshine to start the day. You'll need your sun protection. There's that line of storms rolling through with the cold front, and it takes a little while to move through. Could see some severe activity eastern Ontario as well. And then we get the sunshine on the way for Thursday. So looking at our 7-day forecast, this is how things are playing out. Another hot, humid day tomorrow. Still the warnings in effect. 31 degrees, then 15 overnight after the passage of the front, after those thunderstorms. 28 and sunny on Thursday. 27 on Friday with the sunshine. Back to 30 on Saturday. A little bit cooler after that. Back inside to you, Nathan and Michelle.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, shining a spotlight on trans healthcare, a pioneering hospital right here in Toronto, helping people opting for surgery as part of their transition.
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
June marks Pride Month, and some of the areas being highlighted include the needs of Canada's trans community.
CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan has more on a pioneer trans healthcare, Women's College Hospital.
It's been 5 years since Amelia Smith came out, and surgery was one of the steps that she seriously thought about.
And so I knew that Women's College Hospital was looking into offering the surgeries, because vaginoplasty had only been offered at Montreal for 40 plus years.
Smith had her surgery done last May, one of a growing number of Canadians opting for gender-affirming operations as part of their transition.
I always like to emphasize that not all trans people
want or require surgery. It's really important to acknowledge that, but for those that do, it can be life-saving. There's been exponential growth over the past decades. I think not only in the demand for surgery, but in the number of individuals that are feeling comfortable to be out as trans.
In 2019, Women's College began its transition-related surgical program, the first public hospital in Canada to do so. But as it celebrates its success, there's also concern about the growing wait times for surgeries, 12 to 24 months for upper surgeries, and up to 65 months for vaginoplasties.
I do feel more confident, but I don't think that's really... I think it's complicated.
Smith says the surgery didn't change how she sees herself, but for others it can be a life-changing step. As for the growing demand...
I'd like to see the rise in provincial funding go along with it, because that's really what's limiting things right now.
And experts say the pandemic has been especially hard on LGBTQ plus youth, who have a 7.6 higher risk of suicide attempts than cisgender youth. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
In the wake of the pandemic, thousands of doctors and nurses quit over burnout, exacerbating an already thin supply of family doctors and nurses. And for those still seeing patients, the pressures are still growing. CTV's Colton Prail has an inside look.
15 minutes into his day.
So this is my day right now. It's already all booked up. This was all open at 8 o'clock.
Dr. Barry Dworkin is already booked. A full day of 20 patients.
Hey, I'm in.
Phone calls. And a seemingly never-ending list of records, prescriptions and referrals, all needing his urgent approval.
And nine in the urgent care box. Another 18 to go through again.
The pace is frantic, the workload high, and the pressure's intense.
But the problem is that there's only a certain amount of time during the day, and we need more coverage. We need a nurse practitioner, need a physician assistant, because there are a lot of things that go on in the background that you've witnessed today that can be handled by other staff.
For Dr. Dworkin and family practitioners across the country, this is a typical day. A frenetic pace that's leading to burnout across the industry.
We're at a very critical juncture in our healthcare systems across the country because we're not seeing enough family physicians.
The healthcare shortages that have left more than a million Ontarians without a family doctor are also forcing those still in the industry to do more. Doctors have patient lists well over 1,000 people per person, often leaving them with mere seconds in the day even to eat.
You start to lose your empathy, you know you're in trouble. Hasn't gotten there yet, but there are days where your empathy gets really tried.
Experts say more needs to be done to recruit physicians and nurses, but funding those positions is a challenge.
So we have to make it more desirable and for physicians to choose as a specialty and also to stay as a specialty.
Any solution will take years, leaving those still working doing all they can in the few short hours they have.
There he is.
Colton Prail, CTV News.
Scarborough Health Network is receiving its largest donation ever, $20 million.
Nothing like this has ever happened for our Scarborough hospitals, and I can't tell you how happy I am to share it with you today. Today we will be announcing the largest gift in Scarborough Health Network's history, a gift that will mark the beginning of a new era for Scarborough and rewrite the story for our patients, our community, and our dedicated SHN team members.
The donation follows a fundraising campaign launched by the network. The North Pine Foundation says it was an opportunity to help the people of Scarborough. This money will, among other things, allow SHN to build what it calls Canada's first no-wait emergency department at Centenary Hospital.
Canada's largest theater chain will be charging some customers a bit more to see a movie this summer. Cineplex has introduced a $1.50 booking fee. It applies to every ticket bought through its mobile app and website. In-person purchases at the box office, ticket kiosks, or concession stands will not have to pay the service charge. Subscribers to CineClub, the company's monthly subscription program, will have the fee waived. Canadian actor Adam Beach is coming back to TV, but not in a way that we're used to. Now, he's hosting a new reality show called A Cut Above. It's set to air on Discovery. Discovery and CTV, by the way, are both divisions of Bell Media.
But as CTV's Andrea Case reports, there is another side to the Golden Globe nominee.
You're to pair with a code talker. Your job is to keep him alive so he can do his job.
Adam Beach has starred in dozens of films and television shows, but the father of three and now grandfather's most emotional role is that of fighting for the rights of the indigenous people. Members of the Beach family are survivors of the residential day school system.
It's a big concept when it comes to talking about indigenous people in Canada. Right now we're still healing the structure of boarding schools, residential schools, but also day schools. A lot of people don't realize that my family from Lake Manitoba are the ones who sued the government for day schools. So it's very personal. And they won.
Through compensation, he came to understand the magnitude of their suffering.
The higher the number, the higher the cost of experience that they've been through. And my aunt told me, it's emotional. The amount that my aunts got, I realized that the trauma inflicted on them is the trauma I experienced. And it's not just from our generation, it's a generation that comes from hundreds of years ago. And people say, you know, get over it. And it's like we're trying to. And, you know, we've come to a place where it's like, okay, you want us to get over this, but how are you guys gonna stop what you're doing to the land now? Because we're fighting for that too.
Andrea Case, CTV News.
After announcing details of her latest album last week, Beyoncé has released her first single from it. I just fell in love, and I just quit my job. I'm gonna find no drive. Titled Break My Soul, it's the first single off of her new album, Act One Renaissance. It's a house track that samples the 1993 hit Show Me Love. This is the star's first solo album in 6 years. And the follow-up to the highly acclaimed 2016 album, Lemonade. The entire album will drop on July 29th.
Prince William is celebrating a milestone birthday. The Duke of Cambridge turned 40 today. It comes following his grandmother's platinum jubilee. The prince marked his special day with a statement that echoed the Queen's commitment to duty and service. He vowed to continue raising awareness about the issue of homelessness.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
And later, a beloved potbelly pig's plight. How an accident has left Kevin Bacon in need of a wheelchair.
Raising her voice. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast. How Canadian Chantel Kraviazic is using music to help Ukraine. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
They're extremely well trained. This is a very, very challenging incident that has the potential to be very significant. Absolutely well managed. They brought it under control very quickly, and it's just another reason why I'm proud of them every day.
Updating our top stories, no injuries have been reported following a three-alarm fire at an equipment rental facility in Etobicoke. Exploding propane tanks prompted the evacuation of surrounding buildings. More than 100 firefighters were called to the scene.
The vehicle is going to be examined by a Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Alliance inspector.
An investigation is underway after an 85-year-old woman was struck and killed by a street sweeper. It happened around 9 a.m. in the area of Leslie and Lawrence. Police are asking anyone with information to contact them.
Plenty of water, keep covered, plenty of sun cream on.
As long as you protect yourself and you're not silly.
Summer has arrived in Toronto, accompanied by both a heat warning and a special air quality statement. People are being urged to stay cool and hydrated, with the city's cooling centers now open. All of the city's outdoor pools are set to begin operation this weekend.
In business, U.S. stocks are rallying today after their brutal slide last week. With more, here's Andrew Bell from BNN Bloomberg.
Hello there. Stocks move more than 2% higher in the United States today as markets reopened after Monday's Juneteenth holiday. That bounce was after American shares plunged almost 6% last week, which was the worst weekly loss since the early days of the pandemic in March of 2020. Toronto shares rallied about 0.5% today. Investors moved back into growth stocks and riskier assets, with Bitcoin gaining 3% to top $20,800 US. Some market players hope that we are near the peak in inflation, which has climbed to multi-decade highs. That might prompt central bankers to slow the pace of interest rate hikes. The US market is down about 21% so far this year, while Toronto has dropped about 9%. In the oil market, crude recovered from some of the losses posted over the past week. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude moved up about $1 U.S. a barrel to top $110 amid hopes for massive summer demand. Bloomberg says Europe is still importing huge volumes of Russian diesel despite sanctions and tough talk from political leaders after Moscow's attack on Ukraine. The biggest buyers of the Russian fuel are France and Germany. And finally, Kellogg, which dates back to 1894 and the creation of cornflakes, plans to split into three separate companies. One will be a global snack business with brands including Pringles and Pop-Tarts. The other two will be the North American Cereals Division and the company's plant-based food operation, which includes fake meat products. Reuters says U.S. cereal sales have flagged in recent years as consumers turn to fast food chains for their breakfast. Checking in on the markets, the Canadian dollar changed hands at 77.4 U.S. cents, up almost half a cent. WTI oil traded at $110.65, up $1.09. Western Canadian Select oil was at $90.43, up 57 cents. And the TSX Composite Stock Index ended at 19,257.29, up just over 73 points. That's the latest in business. I'm Andrew Bell of BNN Bloomberg.
It looks like Canadians won't be getting any federal tax relief to help offset sky-high gas prices. The Liberal government has been asked about offering a temporary reprieve from the gas tax. But today, officials said they're more focused on stabilizing oil prices by increasing supply. The Biden administration is looking at slashing the federal gas tax in the U.S. If that happens, Canada will be the only remaining G7 country not to have cut taxes on gas or offered a subsidy.
About 40,000 railway workers walked off the job in Britain today. The biggest transit strike in 30 years has brought the rail network to a crawl. Only about 20% of passenger trains are scheduled to run. Cleaners, signalers, maintenance workers and station staff are holding a 24-hour strike. Two more are planned for Thursday and Saturday. Pay, working conditions and job security are the main issues.
Just ahead, not to be confused with the actor Kevin Bacon, this pig is in a bit of a pickle. The beloved pot-belly pet accidentally paralyzed and in need of a way to get around.
Finally tonight, a community's effort to fill this little guy's piggy bank, a maritime town doing its part to help a hog.
Kevin Bacon, the pot-bellied pig, definitely not footloose, but feeling the love. CTV's Derek Haggett has the story.
It's a long road to recovery for Kevin Bacon, better known as Kevvy B by his friends and loved ones. The nearly two-year-old pot-bellied pig was injured during a road trip to northern New Brunswick to get his favorite snacks on June 5th. Now he's recovering at home with his owners, Carrie and Steve, who own a doggy daycare and training center near Amherst.
We had a little bit of an accident in the car on the way there, and he managed to get quite hurt. His back end got paralyzed. He broke two parts of his spine.
His recovery time is expected to take 8 weeks. And to make matters worse, he'll need a wheelchair and a lift or a ramp to get up and down the stairs at the two-story building.
We're anywhere between $15,000 and $20,000. Yeah, so it's that's a lot. We had to.
Kevvy B was in the process of being trained to be a therapy pig and routinely made appearances around Amherst. That's why several businesses and people in the community have begun holding fundraisers. 50-50 draws, online auctions, even keychains and blankets with his likeness on it are for sale.
He's done a lot of good things for a lot of people in this community. He's brightened a lot of lives and goes in, hangs out with kids and birthdays and all that kind of fun stuff. So I think it's time for us to turn around and help out Kevy and do what we can for him now.
Carrie and Steve have 10 dogs, 5 cats, and a mouse, and say Kevy B gets along with all of them. She can't imagine life without him.
Everything. I mean, it's just makes our family.
Carrie tells me Kevy B is great with kids, and wherever they take him out for an outing, they have to stop. Everybody wants to have their photo taken with this pot-bellied pig. Now, she said the best-case scenario for a wheelchair would be about 3 to 4 weeks from now. Here's hoping you get it sooner, okay, buddy? Derek Haggett, CTV News, Upper Nepean, Nova Scotia.
What can you say?
I hope he gets that wheelchair. 34 degrees right now, Michelle. It's the first steamy night of summer.
Yeah, it looks like we are 0.3 degrees away from breaking a record for this day on the very first day of summer. Of course, summer solstice. Let's take a look at the temperatures around the region because it's feeling a little cooler downtown, but we have reached 34 degrees at Pearson Airport, feeling like 39. It's going to be 20 degrees overnight, still under a heat warning, still under an air quality advisory as we head into tomorrow. So take it easy, stay cool, do not exert yourself. Looking at a high of 31 degrees with thunderstorms tomorrow, a low of 15 overnight. Back to you.
And a reminder tonight's...
Oh, and of course, and a reminder that tonight's Lotomax jackpot is an estimated $60 million plus 8 Max Millions.
Thanks, Michelle. Got to get that in there.
No doubt. Be sure to join Andrea Case later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.